Welcome back to Module 3 of Enabling DevOps Practices with Visual Studio Online Build. There we go. In this module, we are going to talk about working with build agents. Now, Donovan already has shown you, hey, that hosted build controller agent thing, which is super great, right? But there may be certain circumstances where you want to run your own build agents, and we're going to cover how to do that and all of the depths of the things that kind of relate to that whole piece today. So practically, though, we're going to start off by talking about the architecture of the agent and build pools, and then the rest of the time, we're just going to show you how it's done with Windows, and then I'm going to give you a demo of how it's done with our Linux-based build agents. So architecture, man, Donovan, how does this work?
Well, what's good is we've changed everything, but we haven't broken our backwards compatibility. They run side by side with the build engines and the build controllers and agents that we have today. So you don't have to lift and shift all your build definitions. You can actually piecemeal them as you move forward. Take your old XAML builds one at a time if you need to, and then port them over to our newer system. So they will run side by side. There's no more physical controller. A lot of our customers were complaining that I've now tied this controller to this collection and I can't use those build agents anywhere else but to that collection that's tied to that particular controller. So we got away with that, and we have a concept of a pool of agents that then you have your controllers register to have access to them. And we'll go through a diagram that'll kind of visualize what we're talking about there, but it gives you a lot more flexibility in the way that you can actually use your agent pools and things like that. And also, what else did we have on that slide there? We also had the, their xcopy deploy. Well, they're similar, they're kind of xcopy deploy. They will be for me. I think David's demo is going to be a little bit more impressive because he has to go through a little bit more steps to do our cross-platform agent, but we're trying to make that as easy as we possibly can. The Windows agent is very, very easy to stand up. And as David said, there are going to be times where you're going to need to stand up your own. There might be tools that you need access to that aren't on our hosted build agents at that time. Also, when you go on our hosted build agents, you're in line with everyone else in the world needing to do a build who needs to get to those hosted build agents. So standing up your own agent can give you much quicker queue times. It can give you much faster builds overall because you can put them on whatever size hardware you need. And it also allow you to install whatever third-party tools you need on your build agent to be able to perform maybe a Wix installer compile, that which isn't on our hosted agent. So a lot of good reasons on why you might want to create one. And we're going to show you exactly how to do that here in just a second. So how does the architecture change? As we mentioned before, instead of having a controller tied to a collection now has to get permissions to work on a particular pool. And in the diagram that you see before you, we have a TFS deployment, and that's going to be where your TFS server lives. And we actually create two what we call pools of agents. So we have pool one and pool two. And down below, we have these two collections, collection one and collection two. And as you can see, we're able to take the pool that is pool one and actually assign it to both collection one and collection two, which is something we could not do in our old product. In our old product, as you can see on C1, we would have to install a controller. And that controller is where we'd be able to associate our agents, and those agents would only be able to be used on collection one. We also have a special pool for whatever reason called pool two, which we have chosen to only assign to collection number two. And as you can see on the machines on the right hand side, these are the machines that are hosting those individual agents. And as we have on the machine number two, we can have our old and our new agents side by side, and we can actually use whatever resources we want on those machines to basically load balance our pools for us. So it's really very, very flexible. They live side by side, and now we can have multiple collections using the exact same pool of agents.
And even though that says TFS deployment, that could also, I mean, all of that would be also in the cloud, Visual Studio Online.
Very good point. Yeah, so when we're taking TFS, that's a very good distinction there. It could be TFS VSO deployment. Absolutely. Very good point.
Okay, what about security for the agent pools?
So yeah, security on TFS is a large, large topic, one of which we could probably do an entire MVA on. Mm-hmm. So what we're going to focus on now is if you want to go and take the actions that we're going to be taking here in a moment, there are certain permissions that you're going to need to have. First of all, your Team Foundation Server Administrator has all the privileges they need to be able to create new application pools. And there's these two special groups, one of which will allow us to set permissions on an individual or to give them the rights to create additional application pools. Once an application pool, agent pool, as soon as an agent pool exists, I can then go into that agent pool and give someone specific permissions on that pool alone. So they'll be able to add agents to that pool, but not add additional agents to our infrastructure or TFS deployment. So there's three different levels. There's the Team Foundation server administrator, has all the privileges he needs. He can then delegate that to someone who wants to be able to create new pools. Once a pool is created, we can then delegate roles to just that one particular pool. So that's the security. Now I'll show you where, when I add my agent, where all those areas are on the UI.
So let's see it in action now.
Oh, great. So we're already looking at adding a new build agent. So I'm going to use the same machine I was on. You can use any machine that you like. When I normally build a build agent, I like to spin up a machine in Azure that has most of the tools that I already need on it. So I usually go and spin up a Visual Studio 2015 RC machine that's going to have all the compilers and all a lot of great tools on it already. Then what I'm going to do is I'm going to navigate inside of my VSO account to this little gear icon. This gear icon is going to allow me to go to the administrative portal. And then from the collection level, I can start to see where I have my build agents defined in my pools. And as you can see, we have two. We have a default pool, which is currently empty. And during this demo, we're actually going to add up an agent there. And then we have our hosted agent as well. On the right-hand side, you can see what our hosted agent's capabilities are. Remember earlier I talked about demands on a build. And those demands are then cross-referenced with these capabilities of the agent. So if my build demanded that it has grunt, it will then verify that grunt as actually a capability on that particular agent. When we add our own build agent, you're going to see a huge list of capabilities that it has that goes beyond what we have in our hosted agent, which is one of the reasons you might want to actually stand up your own. So the way that you get started is that you simply click on download agent. But before I do that, I'm going to talk to you really quickly about some of that security that I mentioned earlier. So if I want to go and manage my pools, we're going to see that there's a group here called the Agent Pool Administrators. You need to be a member of this group to be able to go and add additional pools. And as you can see, the Team Foundation Server Administrators are already in this group, which is what I was saying before. If you are the TFS admin, you already have all the permissions that you need. I can then add additional groups or people to this role, granting them access to then add new pools to our TFS deployment or VSO deployment. Once a pool is created, it also has two subfolders here, or two subgroups. And these groups are where I can then delegate permissions to this one individual pool. So that the individual that I add here will not necessarily have permissions to then add new pools to our TFS. So again, there's three levels: TFS administrator, the agent pools at our agent pool permissions level, and then down here under each individual pool, I have another group that I can then add permissions and security for. Okay? So with that already taken care of, we can go back in and find my download button. And there's something very important you're going to want to do after you download this from our site. So I'm just going to go ahead and store this in my downloads folder. And then I'm going to open it up. And the first thing you're going to want to do is right click on it and then make sure you unblock it. Right? You're going to have lots of trouble if you forget to do this step. So download it, unblock it.
Maybe just zoom into that one almost. Just to reiterate.
Unfortunately, I've already clicked it, so it won't be there again, but it's definitely down here in the bottom. I don't think I have zoom in on this on this machine. But you'll see the big unblock icon here or button. Just click on that unblock, and that's going to make sure that we have access to all the files that are inside of the zip folder. I then come here, and I'm simply going to open it up. I'm going to actually extract it. So let me go ahead and extract this. And I like to extract it somewhere very shallow on my hard drive. So I'm just simply going to extract it to /c/agent. Once all the files are extracted, I'm just going to simply fire up PowerShell. So let's go ahead and go back to our old PowerShell command. Let's cd into our agent folder. And then from here, I'm simply going to be able to run that configuration. Now, one piece of information I'm going to need to complete this configuration is the URL for our Team Foundation server in VSO. So we're going to go ahead and copy this too. So I'm going to go back here and just copy this URL for me real quick, because we are going to need that to complete the task.
Can we see this, maybe for the audience here, get a little bit bigger text for the PowerShell?
Sure, that's a good idea. So let's go and edit the font here. I forgot that I was coming back in here.
That's better.
How about that?
Yeah.
Great. So all I've done is CD'd into my agent folder, that I extracted the zip file into, and there's going to be a configure agent.ps1 file that we're simply going to execute. And unfortunately, this is also going to fire up another window that I can go and adjust the properties for that here as well. So let's go ahead and increase these. Make that a little easier to read. So hopefully we can read that.
Yep.
It defaults to an agent name. If I wanted to change this agent name, I could. The next thing it's going to ask me for is my Team Foundation server URL, which I'm going to just paste from my clipboard. And then it's going to ask me what pool do I want to put it in. By default, we had the default and the hosted. And if I wanted to create my own pool, I might have done that, and I could put that name here. We're just going to go with the default. And now it's asking for where do you want me to actually do my work? When I do a git latest and I start running the tools to compile your code, what folder do you want me to use on your hard drive? I'm just going to go ahead and accept the default here, which is underscore work. And now it's asking me a very important question. Do you want me to run this as a Windows service that's going to start automatically every single time I reboot the machine? Or do you want me to run this in what we call interactive mode? Now, why would I choose one over the other? An interactive mode is going to be very important when you're going to want to run user interface type of tests. Tests that are going to have to interact with the desktop, because traditionally and by default, Windows services cannot interact with your desktop. So I'm going to go ahead and say no here, which is the default, just so that you can see what the window looks like after it's been running. We can actually see the output. But if you were to choose yes, it would simply ask you for the account that you want to run the service as. Now what should happen is I should get presented a dialog that's going to allow me to log in using the credentials for my VSO account. And I'm going to go ahead and do that here real quick. And this has to be someone who is in the groups that we just talked about. I have to have the permissions to be able to add an agent to that pool. And when this is done, I'll be able to go back inside of Visual Studio. So it says everything is running as expected. If I were to come back here and refresh this guy, we can see that we already have that agent appearing. And as you'll notice, the list of capabilities of this machine are much, much longer than they were before. And I can add my own custom tools here. I could add third-party tools that I need for my particular build. And I would then be able to use this build agent whenever I want to run a build.
So those system capabilities, I'm assuming that there's some auto, the agent auto kind of detects what's installed after you install things.
It does. There's logic there that can actually walk through, and it looks for things like environment variable that are set. So if I wanted to add Wix, which is a Windows XML installer tool set, I could go and install the tools necessary. I could do one of two things. I could either come here and add the capability manually by simply typing in whatever it is that I want and the value, or I could go inside of the Windows machine, actually add an environment variable called Wix, and it would automatically show up in my system capabilities. Great question. And then what I do with these capabilities is I match them against my build definition. So if we go back again, and let's look very quickly at the anatomy of this guy. And if we go to the general, we have all of these demands. So you'll see VS Test, Visual Studio, and MS Build. And that's going to correlate over here to some of our capabilities of Visual Studio's on here, VS Test is on here as well. So that's it. It's pretty simple to set up a build agent. And now I will have much quicker queue times. I will have whatever tools I need available to me. And I can spin up machines in Azure like I did here and just build out my entire build pool.
So what if I wanted to use build agents on-prem? Would it matter?
The process is exactly the same. Very good question. I spin mine up in Azure because they're cheap and they're easy and they're quick, and it's access that I have as an MSDN subscriber. I have access to those VMs and those Azure resources anyway, so I might as well use them. But if I needed to have that machine on-premise because it needs to be close to some resources behind my firewall or on my domain, I would simply go through this exact same process on that machine, and then I'd be able to have that be part of my pool as well.
So you could have then, you could have one pool that has a mix of on-prem and cloud-based machines.
Or absolutely.
You could even have a pool that's like, this is the uber-fast SSD 16-core build pool machine thing.
Absolutely.
Whatever you want to do.
Here. And if you wanted to be able to choose based on your build which agent it uses, you could add your own capabilities and put cloud, for example, as a capability, and then put on-prem as another capability, and then use that as a demand on your build so that you could say, I always want this particular build definition to go to the cloud. So I'm going to put a demand that it use the cloud capability. And then on our agent, we simply say you have a cloud capability, and it'll always use it for you. So you can do a lot of cool stuff with that.
A lot of power. So
absolutely.
Even if you are using Visual Studio Online, that doesn't mean you can't use your own on-prem agents.
Absolutely.
Do all your builds locally, because I know some people feel happy goodness when they are like, oh, well, my code and all my builds are right here on the LAN, and yeah, I'm happy. And so that's one way to do it.
That's exactly a way to do it. Very good.
All right. Well, I think now we're going to switch to Linux, the open source build agent that we have here. And so what I've done is I've already got an existing pool here named Ubuntu Agents. Not surprisingly, running Ubuntu Linux. We have one that's running, but what I want to do is walk you through how do you create a new agent and add that to the pool. So what I've done is I have created a brand new fresh Ubuntu 14.04 VM in Azure, and I've only done two commands. The first one is this big long URL here to install the latest version of Node. And this one's really important, and I'll explain why later. And this one's actually, at least at the time of this recording, is actually not documented that you have to do this. So an important one here that I'll leave up on the screen for you to check out. The next one that I did is did it an install of Node.js. So even though that installs the latest package of Node, you still got to go and install Node.js. Now, if you look at the instructions that are up there, it's going to tell you to just install Node.js. And if you do that, you're going to run into some problems later on, at least in my experience here. You also need to have NPM, the Node Package Management, installed on this VM. So after that, though, we can do take a look and see what's our version of Node.js. We can take a look and see what's my version of NPM. And from here, now we're ready to do the agent install. So what I'm going to do is is type sudo npm install VSO agent installer -g. Now what's going to happen is it's going to pull down the agent. So Donovan went out there and he actually said clicked and said download. Well, that's our command, our equivalent command on Linux to just download it, and that's it as far as the download goes. Now what we want to do is we have to change some permissions just because of the way in which this works. So we're going to do a -, and why don't I clear just so it's a little bit up top for you folks here. We're going to do sudo chown -r $user, and this is documented up there. Gives the appropriate permissions to the package manager for what we need to do next. Okay, so we've executed that. Now, the way that the agents work here, or at least the open source agent works, is that you can create agents for whatever, however many agents you want to run on the same machine, you can. And it's just gonna, you're gonna put that into its directory. So we're gonna make a directory and we're gonna call that VSO agent. We'll just leave it that. And then we're gonna change directory into VSO agent. And then we're gonna do the VSO agent installer. And there we go. So it actually installed the agent into that directory. That's done. And now what we have to do, just like Donovan did in the Windows one, we still have to do a configuration, right? So the agent is now installed, but we need to get it configured. It's just out there in no man's land, and it's, the agent's installed, but it's got to be configured to VSO. So we're going to type node agent VSO agent. And now it's going to say, what's your username? And this is that, per the earlier module, the alternate credential authentication mechanism. So you'd put that secondary username and that password in there. And then I'm going to type in my URL. The agent name, I'm going to hit enter and just leave it the same name as the VM, but you could call that whatever you wanted. The agent pool name, and I want to make sure I get this right, I'm going to call it Ubuntu Agents. Because if you look here, right, we have this friendly little Ubuntu Agent. Well, wow, got a little crazy there on the drawing. Ubuntu Agents. So let's go back and let's call it Ubuntu agents. All right. Yep. Okay. So there we go. Agent started. Now that's it. Now the agent today. The agent today actually, at least as of the time of this recording, has to be run interactively. Unfortunately, the agent is at least is not as a service yet. So if you hit Control C or you close your PuTTY window out or you reboot your VM, you're gonna actually have to go back in and type that same command in that directory, node agent forward slash VSO agent. So just something to be aware of, at least you know at the time of this recording, that's the way it works. So let's now, I guess, give you kind of an explanation or see it in action, right? What actually happens? How can I connect this to an actual build? So if I go over to this build definition that I have, I'm gonna first, I guess, take out the agent because I know there's some other special things that I had installed like Java and some other things. So I'm gonna remove this from the pool. But you can see here, right, that we've actually, that's the one that I just installed. So the 14.042 is now green and it's up there. I'm gonna take it out of the pool because I don't want this particular build to go there. Again, because I've got Java and a bunch of other stuff installed here to make my build work. so I'm gonna then just queue the build. Again, it's gonna hit the queue of the Ubuntu agents. We're gonna click OK. And this is now actually running on this guy here. So what you're gonna see is this guy pick it up and it's gonna start. See, it's at the very bottom here. Let's see if we can zoom in a little bit. It's running the job build. And so this one's actually executing. This one's sitting there waiting because we removed it from the pool. And if we go back up here, you can see that the tasks are actually running on that VM. So there, you know, we've got Gradle tasks running, building a Java application. This happens to be our Parts Unlimited MRP app. Cool. And you know, it's running through there. So as you can see, this is the way to make those things connect up. I've got an existing build that I know completed, so you don't have to wait there for the whole thing to finish. But as you can see, we published artifacts. We've done some Gradle tasks to do the builds. Fairly straightforward. And this one completed fairly quickly too, which is the other kind of cool thing I like about this, where it tells you which each step and how long it's running for, to give you an idea of, you know, where's your delays or how much is your time running for each of these different tasks. So yeah.
Cool stuff.
That's pretty much it for the open source agent. And with that, I think we'll call it a wrap.
Sure. Great. Yeah. We'll see you next time.
So, we'll see you the next time. We're going to see you for another module here. We got
absolutely right.
We got some more coming up.
We have
here,
what's the next one? Two more. Wow. Okay. I'm ahead of the game.
Yeah.
Ready to go.
Yeah. So we're on module 3. We got 2 more modules to go.
Perfect.
So stay tuned.